Read Merrill's notebook, jottings on just about everything. Daily writings. 3 daily writings for January 5th through January 13th, 2008. January 5th, 2008. What a messed up day. I woke up not feeling particularly well, so I didn't go to Tai Chi class, which has resumed after several weeks' hiatus. I went back to bed until noon. Then I defrosted some of the turkey soup I made at Thanksgiving, and had it for lunch and dinner. I finished up the bread I had made. I also finished up my yogurt, and I am making more now. An interesting thing about the yogurt, I made some Thursday night, but when I checked it some 14 hours later, it wasn't very thick. It was more drinkable than spoonable. As it had reached room temperature, I considered what to do. I decided a culture was still alive, just very cold, so I put it near the furnace. Sure enough, by supper time it was yogurt. I'm scalding the milk at too high a temperature, so I need to pay more attention when I heat it. I'm getting that lovely skin which becomes a part of the yogurt. I had oatmeal today with dried cherries and raisins and almonds. Dried cherries are incredibly good and sweet. I need to use them sparingly. January 5, 2008 continued. I needed to choose my text for the sermon I am writing. I want to preach on the story of the rich young man. I eliminated Luke, because he deals with the ruler of the synagogue. This left me with Matthew and Mark each, of which has something to recommend it. Jesus loves the man in Mark's gospel, and the man has dashed up to Jesus in a great hurry. On the other hand, the man is called young in Matthew's gospel, and Jesus tells him what he needs to do to be perfect. Both Anthony the Great and Bonhoeffer look at Matthew's telling, so I've gone with it. I'm thinking about all the roads not taken and all the disappointments and circumstances heaped up in our lives beyond our control which are disappointing. I feel much better, now that I have a starting place. I don't have an ending place, yet nor do I have a middle, but it's a start. Bible study January 5, 2008. I've been asked to help with a Bible study for Adult Forum about debunking healing. I'm filling in, because others who would have done it are otherwise engaged. I'll be presenting that, while my sister is preaching my sermon. I have to focus on this, while I'm doing the writing for my sermon, because the person in charge will be out of town the following week. If it rains, it pours. January 7, 2008, Faith. After a quick read of some of the stories in today's Audible Digest of the New York Times, I wondered what I would read in the Bible today. I'm focusing on the New Testament, since I have three translations from which to choose: the Revised Standard, today's New International Version, and the Message. I review the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians, the oldest piece of the New Testament. The Gospels retell earlier stories from oral tradition. Listening over and over again to this first chapter, I unconsciously wondered what nugget I am to take away from my reading today. It turns out the answer is faith. More than faith, really. The Thessalonians had a faith which rang out in TNIV words, or sounded forth in NRSV. I think of those deep-voiced church bells that can be heard all over the city with a pure, clear sound. The Thessalonians' faith in Jesus was like that. This leads me to two thoughts. 1. I can't think of a church locally, or even farther away, that has such a reputation too. WH. What can I do to have such a reputation myself? I hope I am asking this, not from a position of self-interest, but as a way of thinking about projecting my own faith beyond the interior life. How is it that faith rings out beyond us? I think of this little writing project as a tinkling bell. The allusion to 1 Corinthians 13 is intentional. Paul links the sounding of a bell to faith there. If I have not love, then my faith is nothing more than a sounding bell or clashing cymbal. The work of faith is linked with the labor of love, and endurance of hope is these opening lines of 1 Thessalonians. Probably not surprising that the bell image appears here, too. Paul is working on these connections. How often did he use them in his letters, now lost, and his exhortations now forgotten? How does faith work? How does love labor? Certainly the cultivation of endurance and patience requires the inspiration of hope. To more mundane matters, the bread making was successful yesterday. The yogurt can be saved by putting it near the furnace for a few hours. Now on to audio editing of our latest podcast conversation. This afternoon I start sermon writing. January 7, 2008, a hectic day. I did get my walk in. Just about all the snow is gone. I could wear my lighter coat, but it was still quite chilly. This is what they call a January thaw. It will probably snow again within the week. Patience said there were terrible tornadoes in her area, that is, southern Wisconsin. It's mild there, too, which makes January a weird time to have tornadoes. I did get my conversation podcast posted. Blogger has gone to adding enclosures. Vox and Live Journal are no longer linked, though the checkbox is there. Live Journal is its own company again. So I posted on Vox and Live Journal. The Live Journal feed is usually better, but I had to resync it in order for the podcast to show up in my podcatcher. I'm going through bread and yogurt quickly. Am I eating too much? I hope not. I had planned to make soup for dinner, a pleasant winter soup with turnips and parsnips, but the feed cancelled such a venture. What to fix? I made an egg scramble and some toast and yogurt with a tangerine. I'm feeling sort of hungry, too, which doesn't help. I think what I have is a case of the munchies, and munching is just out forever and ever. Amen. So I'll have tea, and maybe one or two dried cherries, very sweet, and I'll pretend it's enough. I'm reading this strange audiobook called something like the Jovian Gate Chronicles. I'm wondering how it will come together as it is an interesting enough book, but not refined and fully fleshed out. In a way, though, these not quite finished books are fun to read because they, or their author who is reading, has so much energy and let's get on with the tale. January 8, 2008 I decided today to read something different in the Bible. Last night I spent time with 1 Corinthians 13. What sounds like a tinkling bell or crashing cymbal is speech itself. It hasn't love. Faith is good. It can even move mountains, but if it hasn't love, it is nothing. So, I decided to listen to a psalm or two. Audible dropped me at Psalm 35, and I also listened to 36. The reading alternates between a male voice and a female voice. Another audible move put me to Psalm 107. I remembered it had something to do with a storm at sea. It does, near the end, but it was what comes before and after this section that fascinates me. There are phrases like, let the redeemed tell their story. He has filled the hungry with good things. Let the wise ponder. I haven't memorized these phrases and verses exactly yet. Oh, yes, and something about his word healing them. I highlighted a redeemed telling their story. In other translations this is a question, because that is what I am trying to do, tell my story especially as it relates to God. Filling the hungry with good things will show up again in the Magnificat in Luke 1 beginning around verse 56. Working with Barbara, I am thinking about healing and Bible study. I also had a conversation with Eric about scripture. Here God's word heals the foolish. We don't think of ourselves as foolish. I certainly don't. But often the foolish are those people who are not connected to God. The fool says in his/her heart there is no God. And then the fool does as/he pleases and gets into big trouble. Sounds familiar to me. Let all who are wise eat these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. Psalm 107.43 that, I think, is what I am doing, though I scarcely call myself wise. Today is Elwood's third birthday. I hadn't realized it is on Elvis's birthday. That might explain a lot. It is very warm here, over 60 degrees, so we will definitely take a walk. Then I need to buckle down to writing the sermon. I told Gail I'd have it done by the time she gets home Friday. Busy, busy. I also almost double-booked myself, squeezing Barbara between Bible study and my haircut appointment, but hopefully that will be enough time to get the job done. Andrea is coming to see about my watch on the keychain and look at the Live Journal application on the phone. We are still resolving the scale question, though it is becoming more critical every day. I signed up for Skype Pro since Skype Unlimited was about to run out, and I do like using Skype for my outgoing calls. I probably could use my cell minutes or even my Green Streeted phone, but I think it is a bargain, so I am relaxed about doing it. Well, off to check email, do my exercises, and see about our birthday walk. January 13, 2008 slow day. I'm not saying this is a slow day in the sense of not much is happening. I'm saying I am moving very slowly. My head feels as if it is filled with jelly and my body feels very sluggish. I haven't posted for the past couple of days, because I have been so focused on completing a sermon for my sister to read next week. I had to finish it a week early, so that she could become familiar with it, and pick the hymns for the pianist to become familiar with. It will be fun to hear what it sounds like when someone else reads it. I listened to a new podcast this morning. Lynette is doing the I Just Have to Say podcast at http://soapbox.libsyn.com/it's-supposed-to-be-hard-hitting, but isn't as yet. This material could go on her established podcast, but there seems to be some issues there that I'm not aware of. Sometimes people just need to do something different. I have lots of clutter-related things to do here, basic life stuff, all very boring and necessary, only because other people think it is necessary. Why most wouldn't get done by me otherwise, though some of the clutter is getting in my way. I keep thinking I'll feel lighter or less constrained if I put things away or get rid of them. I don't know that this is really true. I just get more stuff. I try to get rid of something if I bring something else into the house. I bought 3 sweaters on sale at Old Navy last week. I have 2 ready to go to Street Susan's. Properly speaking, I need 2 more sweaters and several shirts to go into the box. However, there is a sweatsuit, a pair of shoes, a tablecloth and a napkin. I'm still looking for the other napkin. So pound for pound of stuff, I'm doing okay. I got a new to-me chair for the table, It needed a seat cushion. So, as it will have a maid and I have two other chairs for this table, I bought several cushions. You see how stuff adds up? The good news is that I'm warmer sitting here at the table than the desk, and I wrote the entire sermon on the PDA the way I am writing this post. I have a private journal. I can post too, so I can keep the backup forever and ever. I am beginning to think this is preferable to buying storage devices for non-sensitive data. How much do I need to keep anyway? Maybe our stuff is like old growth forests. They need forest fires from time to time to let the sunlight in and new growth to occur. I like this image. I'll have to work with it for a while. Speaking of work, this week I tackled the Bible study on understanding what healing is for the postmodern Christian. Well, my coffee grows cold. Later, January 13, 2008 Braille. I want to respond to Lynette's I Have to Say podcast on Braille. See http://soapbox.libsyn.com/for-the-podcast. I learned Braille at age 8. I was a good print reader, first reading group and all that, but I have never considered myself a good Braille reader. Reading a book in Braille is not something I have enjoyed, though I have done it. It's just too much work. I've always preferred to listen to books, and not at a very high rate of speed. I think that is because I enjoy being read too. Certain tasks are easier with Braille. Proofreading comes to mind, whether a document or a computer program. I've had to proofread both. Braille labels on things are invaluable. I am lazy, and don't label things. Then I regret not having done so. Right now there are myriad cans, boxes, and bags in my kitchen I cannot identify. When I want diced tomatoes, I don't want a can of chicken broth or refried beans. You just can't substitute one for the other. Then came my need to read out loud to others. I was very fearful, feeling very inadequate to the task. I read very slowly. So I practiced, getting very familiar with the text. This made me a very good reader in church. I paused when it made sense to pause. I gave emphasis when emphasis was needed. I was asked a little over a year ago to read Isaiah 9:1-7, I think, for the Christmas Eve service. I read and reread waiting for the service to start. Phrases began falling together. The text began to worm its way inside of me. The people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. And those descriptions of the tramping soldiers' boots and the garments rolled in blood began to take hold of me. Then the news of the child upon whose shoulders the government shall rest. I went to the lectern to read. Some people think they do not need to project, when they read in church, that the microphone will pick up their voice and amplify it sufficiently to be heard. This is not my experience. I need to read, as if there is no microphone, then people will hear me. The microphone helps in these cases. It needs something to work with. I proclaimed this ancient word, concluding the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. I believed it. I think everybody in the room believed it, at least for a moment or two. I left the lectern and sat down. The church was silent. Nothing happened. Then I realized I hadn't ended the reading in the customary manner, the word of the Lord to which the people respond, thanks be to God. It's a clue to the organist to move on to the music that comes next. Later I was told it was perfectly all right. Everyone present knew this was the word of the Lord. The organist had waited a discreet amount of time, letting it sink in. Comments were made. One woman turned to her father-in-law and said, I bet you heard that. I wish everyone spoke like that, he replied. An excellent reader turned to someone and said, I'm glad I don't have to follow her. There were other readings. It's a very strange feeling when the word becomes alive. Well, back to Braille. Turning page, S, keeping my place, distinguishing between all those contractions which are only one dot different, it makes reading hard. I fiddled with the Easter Gospel 1 year, so that it fit on one page. I read that over and over again, too, having to insert the explanation of who they were who went to the tomb in such a way anyone listening was clear this was my interjection, rather than the text itself. I don't find Braille displays on computers helpful. I've tried. Unfortunately, I don't seem to be able to find the information I need. Certain information flashes onto the display and disappears before I've read it. I don't know how to get it to sit still to be read. I do like Braille sometimes in meetings, so I can literally get a feel for where the meeting is going, or what it is we are discussing, if I need that level of detail. Usually I can go with the flow. My parents don't know Braille. Neither do my children. My mother could write letters to me at camp and other notes when necessary. I didn't teach my children to read Braille either. That way they couldn't read everything I wrote. I do like Braille for things I want to read aloud for my podcasts, and I enjoy reading scripture for myself in Braille. I've enjoyed Braille hymnals. It's a drag to have to Braille out my own church bulletin. Mostly I try to get away without one. I find Braille menus frustrating. There's just so much information and people I'm with keep asking, are you ready? So I ask them to read, because they can summarize as needed. I also get into ruts and order the same thing over and over, but then everyone does. Having a Braille printer has made a big difference in my life. I don't have to copy down what I've written on the computer or what I want to say. I can just print/braille it when I'm finished. I personally find touch typing faster than brailing. Conclusion: I'm glad I can read Braille. I'm also glad for synthesized speech and recorded books.
You've been listening to Rev Merrill's Notebook, a Living in the Wilderness media presentation. To contact Rev Merrill, you may send email to rlsguide@gmail.com or leave a comment at either revmerrill.box.com or rlsguide.livejournal.com. Our music is Tuesday Was a Swan by KG House, available at bobsafeaudio.com. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons, Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 license.